This is the Power of Your Subconscious Mind podcast, a chapter-by-chapter reading of Joseph Murphy's The Power of Your Subconscious Mind, which is in the public domain. This book was written in 1963, and although the language is a bit arcane at times, the concepts are still cutting edge. I'm your host, Lane Smith Brown, and I am a coach at lanesmithbrown.com and the host of the Unleash Your Life podcast. I help my students apply the concepts in this book by helping them understand what is really playing in their subconscious mind. That's a mystery to most people, and why so many people read or listen to this book and don't get the results they want. Check out the links in the show notes or go directly to lanesmithbrown.com. The Power of Your Subconscious Mind, brought to you by WeirdHummingbirds.com. This book is in the public domain. Chapter 6, Practical Techniques in Mental Healings. When an engineer sets out to build a bridge or design a spacecraft, he or she approaches the problem with a known, familiar technique and a set of practiced skills and methods. These techniques, skills, and methods must be learned. In the same way, there are recognized techniques, skills, and methods for governing, controlling, and directing your life. These methods and techniques are primary. In building the Golden Gate Bridge, the engineers first had to understand mathematical principles, stresses, and strains. Second, they developed in their minds a visualization of the ideal bridge across the bay. The third step was the application of tried and proven methods by which the principles were implemented. When these three steps were completed, the bridge took form, and generations of motorists began to drive across it. If you want your prayers to be answered, you must start with the proper techniques and methods. The way in which your prayer is answered is a scientific way. Nothing happens by chance. This is a world of order and laws. In this chapter, you will find practical techniques for the unfolding and nurturing of your spiritual life. Your prayers must not remain up in the air like a balloon. They must go somewhere and accomplish something in your life. When we analyze prayer, we discover there are many different approaches and methods. We will not consider in this book the formal ritual prayers used in religious service. These have an important place in group worship, but that is not our focus here. We are immediately concerned with effective methods of personal prayer that can be applied in your daily life and used to help others and yourself. Prayer is the formulation of an idea concerning something we wish to accomplish. Prayer is the soul's sincere desire. Your desire is your prayer. It comes out of your deepest needs and it reveals the things you want in life. Blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. That is the real nature of prayer, the effective expression of life's hunger and thirst for peace, harmony, health, joy, and all the other blessings of life. The passing over technique for impregnating the subconscious. We have seen the secret of effective prayer is to imbue the subconscious mind with the desired outcome. One of the simplest ways to do this is what is called the passing over technique. This consists essentially of inducing the subconscious mind to take over your request as handed it by the conscious mind. This passing over is best accomplished in a dreamlike state. Know that in your deeper mind is infinite intelligence and infinite power. Just calmly think over what you want. Visualize it coming into fuller fruition from this moment forward. Be like the little girl who had a very bad cough and a sore throat. She declared firmly and repeatedly, "It is passing away now. It is passing away now." It passed away in about an hour. Use this technique with complete simplicity and naivete. Your subconscious will accept your blueprint. If you were building a new home for yourself and your family, you would take an intense interest in the blueprint for your home. You would want to make sure that the builders followed your blueprint to the last detail. You would keep watch over the materials they used. Knowing that the future life of your home depends on the quality of materials used to construct it, you would select only the best cement, insulation, electrical wiring, roofing, and so on. Does it not make sense to take the same care with your mental home and your mental blueprint for happiness and abundance? All your experiences and everything that enters into your life depend upon the nature of the mental building block that you use in the construction of your mental home. If your blueprint is full of mental patterns of fear, worry, anxiety, or lack, and if you are despondent, doubtful, and cynical, then the quality of the mental materials you are installing in your mind will come forth as more toil, care, tension, anxiety, and limitation of all kinds. The most fundamental and the most far-reaching activity in life is that which you build into your mentality every waking hour. Your word is silent and invisible. Nevertheless, it is real. You are building your mental home all the time, and your thoughts and mental imagery represent your blueprint. Hour by hour, moment by moment, you can build radiant health, success, and happiness by the thoughts you think, the ideas you harbor, the beliefs you accept, and the scenes you rehearse in the hidden studio of your mind. This stately mansion, upon the construction of which you are perpetually engaged, is your personality, your identity in this plane, your whole life story on this earth. Get a new blueprint, build silently by realizing peace, harmony, joy, and goodwill in the present moment. By dwelling upon these things and claiming them, your subconscious will accept your blueprint and bring all these things to pass. By their fruits ye shall know them. The science and art of true prayer. The term science means a body of knowledge that is coordinated, arranged, and systematized. Let us think more closely about the science and art of true prayer. The body of knowledge deals with the fundamental principles of life. It describes techniques and processes that can be demonstrated in your life and in the life of any human being who applies them faithfully. The art is your technique or process, and the science behind it is the definite response of creative mind to your mental picture of thought. Ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. Matthew 7:7. What does this celebrated verse tell us? It clearly means that you shall receive that for which you ask. It shall be opened to you when you knock, and you shall find that for which you are searching. This teaching implies the definiteness of mental and spiritual laws. There is always a direct response from the infinite intelligence of your subconscious mind to your conscious thinking. If you ask for bread, you will not receive a stone. You must ask believing if you are to receive. Your mind moves from the thought to the thing. Unless there is first an image in the mind, it cannot move, for there would be nothing for it to move toward. Your prayer, which is your mental act, must be accepted as an image in your mind before the power from your subconscious will play upon it and make it productive. You must reach a point of acceptance in your mind, an unqualified and undisputed state of agreement. This contemplation should be accompanied by a feeling of joy and restfulness in foreseeing the certain accomplishment of your desire. The sound basis for the art and science of true prayer is your knowledge and complete confidence that the movement of your conscious mind will gain a definite response from your subconscious mind, which has boundless wisdom and infinite power. By following this procedure, your prayers will be answered. The visualization technique. The easiest and most obvious way to formulate an idea is to visualize it, to see it in your mind's eye as vividly as if it were alive. You can see with the naked eye only what already exists in the external world. In a similar way, that which you can visualize in your mind's eye already exists in the invisible realms of your mind. Any picture you have in your mind is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. What you form in your imagination is as real as any part of your body. The idea and the thought are real and will one day appear in your objective world if you are faithful to your mental image. This process of thinking forms impressions in your mind. These impressions in turn become manifested as facts and experiences in your life. Architects visualize the type of building they want. They see it as they desire it to be when completed. Their imagery and thought process become a plastic mold from which the building will emerge. It may be beautiful or ugly, a skyscraper or a one-story shack, but it begins as a visualization. The architect's mental imagery is projected as it is drawn on paper. Eventually, the contractor and construction workers gather the essential materials and the building progresses until it stands finished, conforming perfectly to the mental patterns of the architect. I always use the visualization technique before I speak to an audience. I quiet the wheels of my mind so that I may present to the subconscious mind my images of thought. Then I picture the entire auditorium. Its seats are filled with men and women who are all illumined and inspired by the infinite healing presence within each one. I see them as radiant, happy, and free. Having first built up the idea in my imagination, I quietly sustain it there as a mental picture while I imagine I hear people saying, "I am healed. I feel wonderful. I am transformed." I keep this up for 10 minutes or more. I let myself know and feel that each person's mind and body are saturated with love, wholeness, beauty, and perfection. My awareness grows to the point where in my mind I can hear the voices of the multitudes proclaiming their health and happiness. Then I release the whole picture and go on to the platform. Almost every time I speak, having used these techniques, some people stop by afterward to tell me their prayers were answered. Oh, there's such good stuff here. Murphy was so ahead of his time, but the one thing he's missing here is how self-sabotaging we all are when it comes to embracing his ideas. If you want to learn more about that, and better yet, understand how you can let all that stuff go and embrace these new ideas on an energetic level, check out the show notes. Mental Movie Method. As the old saying proclaims, a picture is worth a thousand words. The fact must be stressed that the subconscious mind will bring to pass any picture held in the mind and backed by faith. Act as though I am, and I will be. A number of years ago, I was in the Midwest on a lecture tour that took me to several states. I wanted to have a permanent base in the area so that I could serve those who needed my help. My travels carried me far away, but I did not forget the idea of a permanent base. One evening in Spokane, Washington, I relaxed on a couch in my hotel room. I immobilized my attention. In a quiet, passive manner, I imagined that I was talking to a large audience. I said to those listening, "I am glad to be here. I have prayed for this ideal opportunity." I saw the imaginary audience in my mind's eye, and I felt the reality of it all. I played the role of the actor and dramatized this mental movie. I felt satisfied that this picture was being conveyed to my subconscious mind, which would bring it to pass in its own way. The next morning, on awakening, I felt a great sense of peace and satisfaction. A few days later, I received a call from an organization in the Midwest asking me to take over as director. I did so, and I enjoyed several years of deeply fulfilling work there. The method I have just described is often referred to as the mental movie method. I have received a great many letters from people who have read my books or heard me speak, telling me of the wonderful results they have obtained by using this method. One area in which the mental movie method seems especially useful is in selling property. If you have a home or property for sale, I suggest that you first satisfy yourself in your own mind that your price is right and fair to both you and the eventual buyer. After having done this, quiet your mind, relax, let go, and get into a drowsy, sleepy state that reduces all mental effort to a minimum. Now, picture the check in your hands. Rejoice in the check. Give thanks for the check and go off to sleep, feeling the naturalness of the whole mental movie created in your mind. You must act as if this is already an objective reality. When you do, the subconscious mind will take it as an impression. Then, the infinite intelligence will draw to you the buyer who really wants to have the property and who will love it and prosper in it. Through the deep currents of the mind, the buyer and the seller are brought together. A mental picture held in the mind, backed by faith, will come to pass. The Baudouin Technique. Charles Baudouin was a professor at the Rousseau Institute in France. He was a brilliant psychotherapist and a research director of the New Nancy School of Healing. He discovered that the best way to impress the subconscious mind is to enter into a drowsy, sleepy state, or a state akin to sleep, in which all effort was reduced to a minimum. Then the idea can be conveyed to the subconscious in a quiet, passive, receptive way by reflection. As Baudouin explained, a very simple way of securing this impregnation of the subconscious mind is to condense the idea, which is to be the object of suggestion, to sum it up as a brief phrase, which can be readily graven on the memory, and to repeat it over and over again as a lullaby. A few years ago, a young widow in Los Angeles found herself caught up in a prolonged and bitter family dispute. Her late husband had left his entire estate to her, but his sons and daughters from a previous marriage had filed suit to break the will. Her offers of a settlement were spurned. When she asked me for help, I explained the Baudouin technique to her. I urged her to condense the idea of her need into a phrase of a few words that could be easily impressed on her memory. The phrase she found was, "It is finished," in divine order. To her, these words meant that infinite intelligence operating through the laws of her subconscious mind would bring about a harmonious conclusion through the principle of harmony. Every night for 10 nights, she sat in an armchair, systematically relaxed her body, and entered into the sleepy state. Once in a sleepy state, she affirmed slowly, quietly, and feelingly the statement, "It is finished," in divine order, over and over again. She found herself achieving a sense of inner peace and an all-pervading tranquility. Then she went off to her deep, normal sleep. On the morning of the 11th day, she woke up with a sense of well-being and a conviction that it was indeed finished. Her attorney called her the same day. The opposing attorney and his clients were willing to settle. A harmonious agreement was reached, and the lawsuit was dropped. The sleeping technique. When you enter into a sleepy, drowsy state, effort is reduced to a minimum. The conscious mind is submerged to a great extent when in a sleepy state. The reason for this is that the highest degree of outcropping of the subconscious occurs just prior to sleep and just after we awaken. In this state, the negative thoughts, which tend to neutralize your desires and so prevent acceptance of your subconscious mind, are no longer present. Suppose you want to get rid of a destructive habit. Assume a comfortable posture, relax your body, and be still. Get into a sleepy state, and in that sleepy state, say quietly, over and over, as a lullaby, "I am completely free from this habit. Harmony and peace of mind reign supreme." Repeat these words slowly, quietly, and lovingly for 5 or 10 minutes, night and morning. Each time you repeat the words, the emotional value becomes greater. When the urge comes to repeat the negative habit, repeat this formula out loud to yourself. By this means, you induce the subconscious to accept the idea, and a healing follows. The thank you technique. In the Bible, Paul recommends that we make known our requests with praise and thanksgiving. Some extraordinary results follow this simple method of prayer. The thankful heart is always close to the creative forces of the universe, causing countless blessings to flow toward it by the law of reciprocal relationship, based on a cosmic law of action and reaction. Recently, a young mother told me of her experiences with this technique. She said, "I was out of work and broke, with 3 small children to feed and clothe. I didn't know where to turn. Then I heard you explain that you should be thankful even before our prayers are answered. It was as if a light had gone on in my mind. I knew I had to try it." Every night and morning, for about 3 weeks, this woman repeated the words, "Thank you, Father, for my wealth." She did this in a relaxed, peaceful manner and continued until the feeling or mood of thankfulness dominated her mind. She imagined she was addressing the infinite power and intelligence within, though she knew, of course, that she could not literally see the creative intelligence or infinite mind. She was seeing with the inner eye of spiritual perception, realizing that her thought image of wealth was the first cause relative to the money, position, and food she needed. Her thought feeling was the substance of wealth untrammeled by antecedent conditions of any kind. By repeating, "Thank you, Father," over and over, the woman's mind and heart were lifted up to the point of acceptance. When thoughts of lack, poverty, and distress came into her mind, she would say, "Thank you, Father," as often as necessary. She knew that as she kept up the thankful attitude, she would recondition her mind to the idea of wealth. This is exactly what happened. This mother's prayer had an interesting sequel. shortly after she began to pray in the way she described. She met a former employer on the street whom she had not seen in 5 years. The former employer offered her a responsible, well-paid position. He even advanced her a temporary loan to tide her over until her first paycheck. As she said to me, "I'll never forget the amazing power of thank you, Father. It has worked wonders for me." The affirmative method. The effectiveness of an affirmation is determined largely by your understanding of the truth and meaning that underlie the words. In praying, use not vain repetition. The power of your affirmation lies in the intelligent application of definite and specific positives. Suppose a pupil adds 3 and 3 and puts down 7 on the blackboard. The teacher affirms with mathematical certainty that 3 and 3 are 6. Therefore, the child changes the figures accordingly. The teacher's statement did not make 3 and 3 equal 6. This was already a mathematical truth that in turn caused the child to rearrange the figures on the blackboard. It is abnormal to be sick. It is normal to be healthy. Health is the truth of your being. When you affirm health, harmony, and peace for yourself or another, and when you realize these are universal principles of your own being, you rearrange the negative patterns of your subconscious mind based on your faith and understanding of that which you affirm. The result of the affirmative process of prayer depends on conforming to the principles of life, regardless of appearances. Consider for a moment, there is a principle of mathematics, but none of error. There is a principle of truth, but not of dishonesty. There is a principle of intelligence, but not of ignorance. There is a principle of harmony, but none of discord. There is a principle of health, but none of disease. And there is a principle of abundance, but none of poverty. I choose to use the affirmative method when my sister was about to be operated on for the removal of gallstones in a hospital in England. Her diagnosis was based on the usual hospital tests and x-ray procedures. She asked me to pray for her recovery. I was over 6,000 miles away, but this did not disturb me. There is no time or space in the mind of principle. Infinite mind or intelligence is present in its entirety at every point simultaneously. Several times a day, I withdrew all thought from the contemplation of my sister's symptoms and from the corporeal personality altogether. Calmly, confidently, I affirmed as follows. This prayer is for my sister Catherine. She is relaxed and at peace, poised, balanced, serene, and calm. The healing intelligence of her subconscious mind that created her body is now transforming every cell, nerve, tissue, muscle, and bone of her being according to the perfect pattern of all organs lodged in her subconscious mind. Silently, quietly, all distorted thought patterns in her subconscious mind are removed and dissolved, and the vitality, wholeness, and beauty of the life principle are made manifest in every atom of her being. She is now open and receptive to the healing currents that are flowing through her like a river, restoring her to perfect health, harmony, and peace. All distortions and ugly images are now washed away by the infinite ocean of love and peace flowing through her, and it is so. At the end of 2 weeks, my sister had another examination. Her x-rays were negative. Her doctor admitted that she showed a remarkable healing and called off the surgery. To affirm is to state that it is so. As you maintain the attitude of mind as true, regardless of all evidence to the contrary, you will receive an answer to your prayer. Your thought can only affirm, for even if you deny something, you are actually affirming the presence of what you deny. Repeating an affirmation, knowing what you are saying and why you are saying it, leads the mind to that state of consciousness where it accepts that which you state as true. Keep on affirming the truths of your life until you get the subconscious reaction that satisfies. The argumentative method. This method is just what its name implies. It stems from the amazing work of Dr. Phineas Parkhurst Quimby, a pioneer in mental and spiritual healing who lived and practiced in Belfast, Maine, over a century ago. He was really the father of psychosomatic medicine and the first psychoanalyst. He also had a remarkable capacity to diagnose clairvoyantly the cause of the patient's trouble, pains, and aches. In brief, the argumentative method, as employed so successfully by Quimby, consists of spiritual reasoning. You convince the patient and yourself that the sickness is due to false beliefs, groundless fears, and negative patterns lodged in the subconscious mind. You reason it out clearly in your mind and convince your patient that the disease or ailment is due only to a distorted, twisted pattern of thought that has taken form in the body. This wrong belief in some external power and external causes has now externalized itself as a sickness and can be changed by changing the thought patterns. You explain to the sick person that the basis of all healing is change of belief. You also point out that the subconscious mind created the body and all its organs. Therefore, it knows how to heal it, can heal it, and is doing so now as you speak. You argue in the courtroom of your mind that the disease is a shadow of the mind based on disease-soaked morbid thought imagery. You continue to build up all the evidence you can muster on behalf of the healing power within, which created all the organs in the first place, and which has a perfect pattern of every cell, nerve, and tissue within. Then you render a verdict in the courthouse of your mind in favor of yourself and your patient. You liberate the sickness, one by faith and spiritual understanding. Your mental and spiritual evidence is overwhelming. Since there is but one mind, what you feel as true is made manifest in the experience of the patients, and a healing follows. The absolute method is like modern ultrasound therapy. Many people throughout the world practice this form of prayer treatment with wonderful results. The person using the absolute method mentions the name of the patient. Then she silently thinks of God and his qualities and attributes, such as God is all bliss, boundless love, infinite intelligence, all powerful, boundless wisdom, absolute harmony, indescribable beauty, and perfection. As she quietly thinks along these lines, her consciousness is lifted into a new spiritual dimension. She feels the infinite ocean of God's love dissolving everything unlike itself in the mind and body of the patient for whom she is praying. She feels all the power and love of God are now focused on the patient. Whatever is bothersome or vexing is now completely neutralized in the presence of the infinite ocean of life and love. The absolute method of prayer might be compared to the latest developments in ultrasound therapy. These were explained to me recently by a distinguished physician in Los Angeles. The device she uses in her work generates powerful sound waves at extremely high frequencies. When these are focused on areas of the body where there are abnormal tissues, the affected cells resonate to the ultrasound and respond to it. To the degree that we rise in consciousness by contemplating the qualities and attributes of God, we generate spiritual waves of harmony, health, and peace. Those on whom these waves are focused then resonate to them and respond. Many remarkable healings have been achieved by this technique of prayer. A crippled person walks. Dr. Quimby often used the absolute method in the later years of his healing career. One of his manuscripts describes how he healed a crippled woman. He was called on to visit this woman who was lame, aged, and bedridden. He states that her ailment was due to the fact that she was imprisoned by a creed so small and contracted that she could not stand upright and move about. She was living in the tomb of fear and ignorance. Because she took the Bible literally, it frightened her. In this tomb, Quimby said, was the presence and power of God trying to burst the bands, break through the bonds, and rise from the dead. When the woman would ask others for an explanation of the same passage of the Bible, the answer would be a stone. Then she would hunger for the bread of life. Dr. Quimby diagnosed her case as a mind cloudy and stagnated due to excitation and fear caused by the inability to see clearly the meaning of the passage of the Bible that she had been reading. This showed itself in her body by the heavy and sluggish feeling that would terminate as paralysis. At this point, Quimby asked her what was meant in the Bible verses, "Yet a little while I am with you, and then I go unto him that sent me. Ye shall seek me and shall not find me, and where I am, thither ye cannot come." John 7:33-34. She replied that it meant Jesus went to heaven. Quimby explained what it really meant by telling her that being with her a little while meant his explanation of her symptoms, feelings, and their causes. He had compassion and sympathy for her momentarily, but he could not remain in that mental state. The next step was to go to him that sent us. This, Quimby pointed out, was the creative power of God in all of us. Quimby immediately traveled in his mind and contemplated the divine ideal, that is, the vitality, intelligence, harmony, and power of God functioning in the sick person. This is why he said to the woman, "Therefore, where I go, you cannot come, for you are in your narrow, restricted belief, and I am in health." This prayer and explanation produced an instantaneous sensation, and a change came over her mind. She walked out without her crutches. Quimby said it was one of the most singularly of all his healings. She was, as it were, dead to error, and to bring her to life or truth was to raise her from the dead. Quimby quoted the resurrection of Christ and applied it to her own Christ or health. This produced a powerful effect on her. He also explained to her that the truth that she accepted was the angel or idea that rolled away from the stone of fear, ignorance, and superstition. This then released the healing power of God, which made her whole. The decree method. Power goes into our word according to the feeling and faith behind it. When we realize the power that moves the world is moving on our behalf and is backing up our word, our confidence and assurance grows. You do not try to add power to power. There must be no mental striving, coercion, force, or mental wrestling. A young woman used the decree method on a young man who was constantly phoning her, pressing her for dates. She found it very difficult to get rid of him. When he began to show up at her workplace, she realized that she had to do something drastic at once. Several times a day, she put herself into a quiet state and repeatedly decreed as follows: I release J.R. unto God. He is in his true place at all times. I am free and he is free. I now decree that my words go forth into infinite mind and it brings it to pass. It is so. According to her, the young man immediately disappeared from her life. She has never seen him since. She says, it was as if the ground swallowed him up. Thou shalt decree a thing, and it shall be established unto thee, and the light shall shine upon thy ways. Job 22:28. Serve yourself with scientific truth. Be a mental engineer and use tried and proven techniques in building a grander and greater life. Your desire is your prayer. Picture the fulfillment of your desire now and feel its reality, and you will experience the joy of answered prayer. Desire to accomplish things the easy way with the sure aid of mental science. You can build radiant health, success, and happiness by the thoughts you think in the hidden studio of your mind. Experiment scientifically until you personally prove that there is always a direct response from the infinite intelligence of your subconscious mind to your conscious thinking. Feel the joy and restfulness in foreseeing the certain accomplishment of your desire. Any mental picture you have in your mind is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. A mental picture is worth 1,000 words. Your subconscious will bring to pass any picture held in the mind backed by faith. Avoid all effort or mental coercion in prayer. Get into a sleepy, drowsy state and lull yourself to sleep, feeling and knowing that your prayer is answered. Remember that the thankful heart is always close to the riches of the universe. To affirm is to state that it is so. And as you maintain this attitude of mind as true, regardless of all evidence to the contrary, you will receive an answer to your prayer. Generate waves of harmony, health, and peace by thinking of the love and glory of God. What you decree and feel as true will come to pass. Decree harmony, health, peace, and abundance.
That's the end of this chapter. There's so much good stuff here, but if you don't address the self-sabotaging beliefs and behaviors in your subconscious mind, nothing will change for you. Don't be a listener, be a doer. Get the change you're seeking. The show notes contain links to lanesmithbrown.com, and for more helpful information on how to really apply the concepts in this book, check out my Unleash Your Life podcast. This is Lane Smith Brown, signing off.